know, the song that was rendered made me remember 25 years ago when I was serving, when I served, and I was about to leave the camp. That's why they say, be careful what you say. I said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to the hospital. Because I was supposed to go and see somebody at the hospital. So when we entered the public transport, myself and my friend that was going, we kept saying, we are going to Modubelo Hospital. And we ended up there, but we ended up as patients. But before the accident happened, the day before, I was listening to, I was in the fellowship there, and we were singing Amazing Grace. And he talked about the fact that it's grace that has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Hallelujah. It's by the mercies of the Lord that we have not been consumed. I think that's Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. I am the Lord, I change not. That's why, O you children of Jacob, I have not been consumed. Is it Malachi? For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. And you know, the good thing about the Bible is that it was written for my family, the family I came from, because I'm a son of Jacob. My father is Jacob. So every time I see son of Jacob, I say, they have written it, it's for me. Amen. Hallelujah. And it's important that we understand that all that we do is by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. Thank you for the opportunity to hear your word this morning. Thank you because you teach us and our spirits will be receptive. And your word will profit us in Jesus' name. We give you all the glory and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Romans 15 verse 4. Whatever things were written before, they were written for our learning. Hallelujah. Amen. So that what happens? That we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. Amen. Because there's nothing new under the sun. Everything that will ever happen has been catered for by God. And he says, whatever things were written before, they were written for our learning. And I will never forget this scripture, because we learn from the scriptures every day. Amen. I'm talking to you, us, this morning about how to stay joyful in God. Rejoice in the Lord. Amen. And two stories come to my mind in the scriptures. The first one was about Paul and Silas in prison. And let's go to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, I'm going to read from verse 16. It says, now it happened as they went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought our masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And this he did for many days. Okay? Then Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. But when our masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrate and said, these men, being Jews, okay, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having seized such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaking. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Amen. Okay, so we take a pause there. So there was Paul that cast out the spirit from the girl, and then they seized him and Silas. And they were going about doing God's work. Hallelujah. Amen. It was just a normal, it was a routine for them. Okay, they were doing what God had called them to do, and then they seized them, and then they are bringing us customs that is foreign to us, and then they put them in prison. Now, Paul and Silas did not bow their heads in despair in prison. Okay, the Bible says that, but, okay, so meaning that if you look at verse 24, it says, having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. So irrespective of what condition they were in, it says, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Hallelujah. So they were not taking cognizance of their situation at that point in time. They were not taking cognizance of it. It was not their problem if they were tied to the floor or they were in that part of the prison. It was just in their own habit to regularly praise God and sing him hymns and songs. Amen. And if for you to know that the reason why they were praying or singing was not so that they would be free. The Bible says that after the earthquake had happened, okay, Paul made sure that everybody did not run away. So if they are singing hymns and songs, was so that they would be free. Once the earthquake and the doors were open, they were just supposed to walk away and be free. Amen. But that's not what happened. He said they stayed. Okay, and then when the jailer woke up and saw that all the doors were open, he was going to kill himself. And then Paul said, "No, don't do that. We are all here." Meaning that their intention when they were praying or praising God was not to free themselves. It was just their normal lifestyle to praise God. Hallelujah. And we have to cultivate that lifestyle. When we say praise the Lord, or we say hallelujah, or we say we give offering, it's not because we have a need. Psalm 150, please. Psalm 150, verse 1, verse 2, verse 3. Psalm 150. It says, "Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness." Hallelujah. Praise him with the sound of trumpet and praise him with lute and harp. Verse 2 is what I'm going to. It says, "Praise him according to his excellent greatness." Hallelujah. It's just like when they say, cut your, what they used to tell us? Cut your coat. Is it to your size? Everybody has confused. Oh, Grandpa, what's the original thing? Cut your clothes according to your size. Grandpa said, "I follow them." He said, "Grandpa said, cut your clothes according to your clothes." So, if it's cut your coat, cut your. You see, I'm confused with now. Cut your clothes according to your size. That's the original. Abi, to your size. That's the original. It's because of a modern day trend that people say cut your clothes according to your clothes. Number one. Cut your clothes according to which one again? Your material. cut your clothes according to what you can make. Abi, because if you have 1 yard, what do you want to do? You go and do applique and join everything together. But you see, so when you say cut your clothes according to your size, meaning that when you want to sew, you measure and be sure that whatever you come out with fits you. It says, praise God according to his excellent greatness. I don't know how we want to measure this excellent greatness except to praise God endlessly, because his ways are far above our ways and he sits in heavenly places far, far, far above. So if we want to look at it critically, if you are going to praise him according to his excellent greatness, who can fathom the greatness of God? Except you continue to do it without ceasing. Hallelujah. No, but some people praise God according to what God has done. That's what they do. So someone wakes up this morning and just says, thank you, God. Because that's what he can think. That, okay, has woken me up this morning. Somebody wakes up and keeps thanking God because he understands that he's beyond waking up. It's because he has a purpose for my life. That's why he has spared me. That's where we read some Malachi 3, verse 6. It says, I am the Lord, I change not. That's why, O you sons of Jacob, have not been consumed. Hallelujah. Because there's a possibility that you could have been consumed. So for everyone that you see walking up and down, he owes God that gratitude that I am alive, I am not consumed. So he says, praise him according, let's go back to Psalm 150. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. And that's what Paul and Silas were simply obeying. Because it wasn't about their condition or their frame of mind or whether they were free or they were not free. Amen. And you see, when we talk about these things, we need to practicalize them. Hallelujah. There's no way to practicalize whether you are free or not you are free. But there's a way to practicalize the fact that you praise God endlessly. So when I say people cut their coat according to their needs, some people will praise God for providing for now. Hallelujah. And then when it gets to tomorrow, they become agitated. And they forget that there was a God that was there yesterday, that was there before yesterday, and will be there even after we ever left. They just completely forget that this God is consistent in the things that he does for them. Hallelujah. Because we cannot see beyond that. Now, Paul and Silas had every reason to be entitled. That look, we were just simply observing obedience, and then we cast out an evil spirit. Out there, they put us in prison, and then God was looking at us. They could have grumbled. I said, God was looking. Why did God make sure that when they held us, there was fire or something? They couldn't hold us. No. They simply just went, and then they said they went into the inner prison, and they were just there. And then the Bible says, but in the midnight, Paul and Silas, they were singing, and then every other person was listening. Amen. We will draw God, our God, unto men by our actions. You know, this morning we were reading in Proverbs 27:21, that talked about the fact that you are valued based on what people say about you. Hallelujah. People won't see God in you if you do not praise God before them. And you don't do the things that God has asked you to do. Amen. That's one set of people, Paul and Silas. They refuse to see boundaries. I think it's in Ecclesiastes that the Bible talks about the fact that if you observe the wind, you know what? Amen. Ecclesiastes verse 11, chapter 11, verse 4 and 5. It says, he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. As you do not know what is the way of the wind, or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. Hallelujah. He says, he who observes the wind will not sow. You know what it means? That some people, if they're a farmer, they will not go out. They will say, it's windy, I'm not going to sow. He says, if you keep observing the wind, and you are not conversant with times and season, then you will not be able, you will not sow. And by so doing, you will miss out on what God is doing. Amen. So the wind for Paul and Silas, they will have looked at themselves in prison and be like, what are we doing in prison? We are disciples of the Most High, and we are preaching Christ to the people. And so if Christ truly came for freedom, why are we in prison? But they were praising God. Hallelujah. Their state, their heart was with God and it remained with God despite and in spite of their situation. Hallelujah. In 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. I want to read from verse 16. Then I will jump. And then I will go somewhere else. Then we'll come to where we are going finally. So verse 16. From verse 13. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 from verse 13. It says, now all Judah with their little ones, their wives and their children stood before the Lord. And then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all of you Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid or dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them, they will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord your God, who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And the Bible says, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of Korah and the children of Korah stood up to praise the Lord, God of Israel, with voices loud and high. In verse 21, it says, and when he had consulted with people, that's when Jehoshaphat had consulted with people, he appointed those who sing to the Lord and who would praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were singing, praise the Lord, for his mercies endures forever. Hallelujah. If you read it from verse 1, okay, the people of Jehoshaphat was complaining. The people of Ammon and Moab had come against them, and there was war in the offing. There was no reason to be joyful or anything at all. But verse 14 points us to something that is very important, and we should note that this Jahaziel that spoke, it looked like nobody knew the origin of Jahaziel. Hallelujah. It wasn't like a Samuel or Elisha or Elijah to them. The Bible says that Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Nathanah, the Bible had to trace for us his root to let us know that he actually is a Levite. Okay? So it was just not a known name per se, but he was a Levite. Hallelujah. And God spoke to him. God will use anyone and anyone at all that will make himself available to use him. Hallelujah. And then he says that a Levite of the sons of Asaph in the midst of the assembly, he spoke and he said to them, do not be afraid or dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Hallelujah. Amen. And you see, when we follow God, the things that we do sometimes does not just make sense to the people around us. Hallelujah. So after all what Jehaziel had told Jehoshaphat and the people of Israel, Jehoshaphat appointed men that will sing praises before the army. He says in verse 21, and he said, when he had consulted with people, he appointed those who will sing to the Lord and who will praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercies endures forever. Verse 22 says, when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, it says, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambush against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Manasseh, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. Hallelujah. It says, when they began to sing, hallelujah. When they began to sing, then the Lord set ambush Amen. In the story of Paul and Silas, it says at midnight, when Paul and Silas were singing praise to God, amen, then he sent an earthquake. Amen. The Bible tells us, it says, in Judah is God known. In Judah is God known. And what is Judah? Praise. Amen. Praise. In praise is God known. And you cannot praise God if you do not understand and appreciate God. I kid you not. You will not, if everything you do is go to God when you need something, then you're not really going to be experiencing God. Hallelujah. The times you experience God are those times when there's no need per se, but you are just sold out to worshiping Him and singing His praise. He says, in praise is God known. Hallelujah. And he says here that, in verse 23, it says, for the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So that means that the people of Judah did not even lift a hand. They didn't. It was their enemies. Their three enemies. So two ganged up, and then they finished one, and then the remaining ones fought against themselves. That's how God steps into situations. Hallelujah. But what happened? Because the people that he spoke to took his word for it and taught him faithful. Joshua said, okay, he consulted and said, okay, you know what, let's send people that will be singing. It is not any tactic in war that you send people that will sing before your army. It's just not done. Hallelujah. So, irrespective of which situation we were in, that situation they were in was hopeless. The one that Paul and Silas was in was hopeless, because the Bible says that everybody gathered against them. They now said, look, these people have brought, because they were no longer making profit. These people have brought something strange to us. They were no longer breaking profit. So when the situation looks bad, this is what the Bible says. When the situation looks bad and terrible, then this is what the Bible says. Habakkuk chapter 3. Verse 17. It says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and He will make me walk on my high heels. Amen. Hallelujah. To the chief musician with my stringed instruments. He says, go back to verse 17. It says, though the fig tree may not blossom, and there will be no leaves on the vines, meaning that everything just looks bleak. There's nothing happening. It says, yet I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Hallelujah. Amen. It says, I will rejoice in the Lord of my salvation. Yes, next. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like a deer's feet, and He will make me walk on my high heels. Hallelujah. You know, when things are not happening, then there's a lot of instability around. You are trying to figure out how to solve this problem. Figure this one. You are just all over. There's no stability. That's why, and the Bible is very, very deliberate. It says, after I talked about all those things, fig tree, everything not blossoming, it says, the Lord is my strength. No, verse 19. The Lord is my strength. It will make my feet like deer's feet, and it will make me walk on my high heels. Hallelujah. What's a deer's feet? The deer walks in rocky places, right? Very rocky places. And if you know very rocky places, it's difficult to find a foothold. Okay? So, but the way God has designed the feet of the deer, when he's on a rocky place, it's four limbs. He can actually use it and be stable. No matter how difficult that terrain is, when he stands, he will be stable. That's why he said, and he will make my feet like his deer feet. In irrespective of everything, things are not happening. He says, yet I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Then, because the Lord is my strength, and then it will make my feet like the deer's feet, and then I will walk on my high heels. Meaning that it will give you the capacity, even in the midst of all that looks like a problem, it will give you that capacity to navigate and come out. Hallelujah. You know, oftentimes what we want is that it should remove that difficult thing and you just go on smooth ground. It says it will give you feet that will make you navigate everything. So it's not that it's going to make sure that the feet comes again or whatever. It may not do that, and it may choose to do that. Hallelujah. But it says, once you rejoice in the Lord, your salvation, God is your strength. Hallelujah. Amen. So when things are not going well, hallelujah, that's the time that you should be praising God. Amen. But you cannot learn to praise God when there is trouble, because you won't know how to praise Him. If there's trouble and you want to praise God, you'll be praising God in fear and in anxiety, and it will not be coming out. Amen. So if you look at the traditional Yoruba, royal fathers, there's always one person that follows them and keeps singing their praise. You know, I don't know what they call their name, but he always follows them. Anywhere the king is going in Yoruba land, he will tell you that this person is coming. He will be singing the king's praise. And that's what he does all the days of his life. He will just be singing that king's praise. To that guy, to sing the prince's grace is not a problem. Now, for me, see that it's a problem for me to even remember what the guy is saying. Because I'm not used to singing a king's praise. But that's what the king does. That's what the man that follows the king does. He sings his praise every day. He's not limited at all. He's not going to be like, how am I going to praise this king today? He knows the mood of the king, and then he says things that will cheer up the king. That's what he does. Hallelujah. We have to learn to rejoice in God always. Amen. Hallelujah. In Joel chapter 2. And from verse 21. It says, fear not, O land. Be glad and do what? And rejoice. It says, fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice. For the Lord has done marvelous things. It says, do not be afraid, you beasts of the field. For the open pastures are springing up, and the trees bear its fruit. The fig tree and the vine will yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you. The former rain and the latter rain in the first month. The threshing floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats overflow with new wine and oil. I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust. My great army which I sent to you, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and the people shall never be put to shame. I thought I would hear you say amen. If you were not saying amen or true, you have missed an opportunity to say amen. You're just saying amen. So when we read in Habakkuk, he talked about the fact that even though the fig tree is not blossoming, now in Joel he's saying that this is what God will make happen. He's saying that for the open pastures are springing up, and the trees will bear fruit. The fig tree and the vine will yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in your Lord. In verse 17 that we're reading. Over 21 that we're reading, he said, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done marvelous things. Hallelujah. It's not that the Lord will do marvelous things. Say, be glad and rejoice. He has done marvelous things. So these things that God has done, what happens to us, to you and I? The things that God has done, we find ourselves moving into what God has done on a continual basis, just as we rejoice in Him. Amen. He says, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done marvelous things. Verse 22. Do not be afraid, you beasts of the field, for the open pastures are springing up. So that the beasts of the field, God is even feeding them. He says, the open pastures are springing up. Amen. He says, and then the trees bear its fruit. The fig tree and the vine yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and then he will cause rain to come down for you. Hallelujah. Amen. Rejoice in your God. Rejoice in your God. Don't be weary of hearing these things, because it will help you when you remember them. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Rejoice in your God. Hallelujah. He says, towards the end, he says, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. When Pastor Divine was introducing this morning, he said, no matter what the economy is saying, hallelujah, no matter what the economy is saying, he says, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. Because it's what God has done. You have to now walk your way to it. How? By rejoicing in him. Hallelujah. You have to walk your way to it by rejoicing in him, not sitting down and complaining. You will not see anything. But when you rejoice, it will show you the things that he has done. Hallelujah. God inhabits the praises of his people. He doesn't inhabit the praise when the people need it. Inhabit it at all times. Hallelujah. So you never can tell when that praise will open a door for you. Hallelujah. You never can tell when it will stand up in the midst of people and it will announce you to the people because you are praising him. Amen. He's not saying, cry out to me. That's not what he's saying. He says, rejoice, because in that joy lies your strength. Amen. And you know what the Bible tells us about joy? And in Galatians chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5, I read from verse 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Hallelujah. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit. And please understand that all these nine things that have been listed. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All these nine things is what make up that fruit of the Spirit. They are not nine fruits of the Spirit, though. It's one fruit that is nine. It's nine in one. Hallelujah. That's why it says, but, go back to 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is all these things all combined. That means that for you to be able to exhibit that joy of God, amen, you have to have the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Because you can't have joy outside of all these other nine things, because they are, it's just like, how do you call it now? If you say you want to take medication, drug, maybe all these anti-malaria, they'll tell you that it has components. This, and this, and this. If one of them is missing, that anti-malaria is not anti-malaria anymore. Because everything must be together to make it. Exactly. So, joy cannot be in isolation. So, if you have joy, it's impossible for you not to have peace. It's impossible for you not to be kind. It's impossible for you not to be faithful. Because they are all part and parcel of the same thing, which is the fruit of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's why we cannot walk without us walking with the Spirit of God. In John chapter 1, John chapter 1 verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Hallelujah. Amen. He says in verse 9 that was the true light which gives light to every man coming into this world. Amen. And we were born of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So we cannot, okay, exhibit that character of the Spirit in which we were born after. Okay? Which is that fruit of the Spirit, we must exhibit it. Amen. And it's not a conditional thing. It's not conditional. I don't even know how to describe this. It's not a condition that except you do this, you do this. No. That joy is a constant state of the man that is reborn. Hallelujah. So if a man that is reborn finds himself in a low state of heart or spirit, he should get himself up. I think we're reading Proverbs 4:23 that talks about the fact that you should guard your heart with all diligence. Out of it flows the issues of life. Amen. You cannot and you should not drift away from that gift that you have been given by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. Hallelujah. That's your strength. That's our strength. God has given it to us and we must lay hold of it. Hallelujah. And there's only one way that you connect with joy, except in the Spirit of God. Amen. So if you are living outside of the Spirit, it will be difficult. Because sometimes when people tell you, why are you not happy? Why are you sad? You will not understand it. Amen. But the man that has hope, and that's why we read Romans 15 verse 4, that everything that was written for our learning, so that we, through the comfort and the Spirit, through the comfort and the patience of the Scriptures, we may have hope. It's the man that has hope, that has something to look forward to. Hallelujah. And we are not like them that are without hope. And these are the things that make us know that we are not like them that are without hope. We have to continue in a state of rejoicing. The things around us, they are not the things that determine what we have or where we are going to. It is what is on the inside of us that determines what is on the outside. Amen. So if on the inside there is chaos, then there's a problem on the outside. So you have to stabilize your internal environment, which is your heart. Amen. By continually staying in the Spirit, walking with God in the Spirit, and praying in the Spirit. And the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. May we rise to our feet. Paul and Silas, irrespective of their condition, they kept on praising God. They were rejoicing. Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah, irrespective of the fact that they were surrounded, at the instance of God's word, they looked and then they consulted and they said, look, let's us be singing and be rejoicing because we know that in praise is God known. Hallelujah. Every time we gather and we come together, or every time we are on our own and we are praising God, be sure that God is working on our behalf. He will show you the things to do and he will show you the way to go about them. Hallelujah. But stay in the place of praise, stay in the place of prayer, and the Lord will show himself strong on your behalf. Let's give him all the praise this morning. And let's thank him. Thank him for his word. Thank him for the encouragement we see in this word. Irrespective whether this fig tree is blossoming or not, he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. If anything is not working, don't worry. God will fix it. Hallelujah. Rejoice in God. Hallelujah. Rejoice in the Lord because it's your strength. He said he will give you strength. He will give your feet strength like the deer's feet. Hallelujah. So that you can navigate this terrain that you think is so bad. And then he said he will cause you to walk on the high mountains so that you will overcome. Hallelujah. God is a faithful God and he's true to his word. Lord, we give you all the glory and praise. Let your name be exalted in Jesus' name.